And at a time of 12:28 on May 25th, Tuesday, 2021, I would like to call the regularly scheduled meeting of the Travis Central Appraisal District's Board of Directors to order. A quorum is present. We're conducting this meeting via Zoom meeting services. The first item on our agenda is citizens communications. I don't believe we had any citizens sign up for our regularly scheduled meeting. Cynthia, can you confirm that?
That is confirmed.
Okay.
James, if
Yes.
I might, Maria, could you take your screen share down?
I sure can. Sorry.
Thanks.
Hey, we want to see you.
Yeah.
I'm hiding.
I want to see Bruce. Hi, Bruce.
Okay, we will move on to item four, which is the consent agenda. These items may be acted upon by one motion. No separate discussion or vote on any of the items will be had unless requested by a board member. Those items include A through F, approval of the minutes from the April 8th, 2021 meeting, the taxpayer liaison report, the Section 2525B report, the accounting statements, the budget line item transfers, and a personnel report. I'll give the board some time to review those documents, and then we will have discussion or a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to discuss briefly the taxpayer liaison report.
Okay, 4B has been pulled. Does anybody have any other items that they wish to pull? Okay, hearing none, we will take action on all but 4B. All those in favor of the consent agenda, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, that motion passes unanimously. We will move on to discussion of item 4B, the taxpayer liaison report.
I'm sure that a lot of the complaints have to do with things that happened at the appraisal review board, and that's what's reflected in this report. But there was one item that I was concerned about that I hope that the chief appraiser can tell us what happened or what has happened since, having to do with a complaint over a customer service phone conversation in which the word rude was used. And I'm just very sensitive to customer service and feel like it's a very important part of this. And we all have bad days, I chief among them. I just want to make sure that we're taking the necessary steps to ensure taxpayer-friendly customer service.
Yes, and that was brought to the attention of the manager in that department, and there has been some additional training that has happened.
Okay, that's all I want to make sure is that there's been some training and remedial action.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion on that item? Okay, hearing none, we'll act on 4B now. All those in favor of the approval, aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, that motion passes unanimously. The full consent agenda has now been passed. We will move on to the regular agenda. Item 5A, discussion and possible action on ARB report to include the ARB membership, 2021 protest season plans, and the 2022 ARB budget request.
Is it appropriate for to discuss this at this time? Or do we need a motion first? I don't know.
The discussion on the ARB report, I believe Mr. King is here. And he can give a report on the ARB for you. And then we can, I think, go into discussion on it.
I just wanted to commend
Hello.
a great report. It was Mr. King. I really appreciated
Hey.
the detail. Thank you.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I guess I don't know if anybody can't see me. I've got the video going in my office here. Welcome to I call it the annex. The hostess asked you to start your video. Start my video. There we go.
There you
Oh,
are.
there we are. I'm Miles Lobster, the first floor of 113 Annex, the Anderson. You brought me on a microphone because it's supposed to work better with would assume in the I was also pitching. Now you're hitting your head.
I'm sorry, Mr. King. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. King. We can't understand what you're. It sounds very garbled. Am I the only one having trouble?
No, I can't understand a word.
Yeah, it might be better to disable the video. Mm-hmm. It'll take less bandwidth.
I just closed my application.
No, we heard you better when the video was off. Again.
Stop the video.
I'm so sorry.
Well, folks have stopped your video. Okay, I'll just do my, how about my audio? Can you hear that?
Better.
Yeah, yeah, much better.
All right, well, just no video. You don't get to see my SMU shirt that I'm wearing today. I go back to the Southwest Conference days. That's how old I am. The first chart, and if somebody could put up my first slide that I presented and you should have in your packet, or if they don't want to put it up, that's fine. It's a Travis Fraser Review Board member role for 2021. I wanted to give you all a snapshot of where we are or where we were in 2020. We had 136 members. About the second day that I came in the office back on April the 13th, after I got appointed on the 7th, I looked at our member role for 2021, and our first, our second year, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth year members. And I found that there were 57 members that were on our roll in 2020 that are not on our roll in 2021. They either didn't reapply to be reappointed by the judge, or they determined that they had some medical problems, they couldn't carry on. We did have four members that termed out after 6 years. Just so you know what's going on with the ARB role, and thank you for putting this up. And 2021, we did have 151 on when I put this together on May the 17th. We now are down to 148. We continue to lose members. We still have 58 second and third term members. We have 20 first term, second year members. Our first year members are down to 70 now. I still have 7 first year members that I still have not been able to get in contact with to have them do orientation, to be sworn in as a public official, to do the comptroller's required training. I sent them each one last email address last Friday. And I'm waiting for a response. I gave until this Friday, and then I'm going to send Judge Livingston a letter saying, hey, these people, they're not interested. Would you please send them letters unappointing them? So I think we're going to be down to 63 first-year members. And remember, the judge appointed 104 Travis County residents to the board. So that's a big drop, big drop. We have successfully had orientation for all of our new members. I took 3 days the last week of April. I had 6 tranches, 2 tranches each day on the 27th, 28th, and 29th. We did our lunchroom. We social distanced it and had 12 members in each day. And as a man was able to let us bring outside people into the into the building so that we could do this, we had to give them their oath of office, go through all kinds of paperwork for per diem pay and statement of offices. And we also got all of the people comptroller trained in their the Zoom new member comptroller training that was completed in May, the first week of May. And we're going to be doing training next week. Next week, June 1st, we're going to start hearings, doing telephone hearings for property owners and agents that are left over from 2020. We're going to do the first week of June. We're going to do 2020 hearings that are late protest motions or also rescheduled protests. We're going to have the new members shadow the hearings that will be take place the first week of June. They're going to spend a half a day with 4 different panels, listen to 4 different chairs, run a panel so that they can get used to and understand how a panel hearing goes. If you'll put up the next slide, and it has to do with my guesstimate on what I'm going to ask the ARB members to do, and a lot of the members, when they got this information, kind of shook their heads at me and said, King, I can't do it. That's too much. I can't do this. I said, you can do this in one day. I tell you, your chair has to control the hearing. If you look, at the top, I've got 6-1 through 6-18. This is a reduced number than what I originally wanted to do because Ms. Kriegler's, all of her appraisers are working with property owners and agents to try to get the informal agreements done, to get top line agreements done. And in fact, one of her slides in there, she's already got $11 billion in value handled for this tax year within that process. That process will be going on till the 18th. So we're having a five panels the week of the 1st, seven panels the week of the 7th of June, and three panels the week of the 14th. They figure that that'll be a big push to get everything in before they quit doing informals on the 18th of June. The 21st, we're going to start into what I hope will be 40 panels that we can work. I'm bringing some people to work into the building. Our panel members are, I'm going to have a panel that they're going to be doing telephone hearings from the building or telephone hearings from their homes. Depending on how things slug out with in-person hearings, Ms. Kriegler and I started a conversation last Friday about that. We didn't get very far, so we have a lot more talking to do about doing in-person hearings based upon what the governor's done, what the county of Travis might do, what the city of Austin might do, what that means to this building, because the building's owned by the Travis Central Appraisal District. They're going to control who comes in and out of the building, and we've got to figure out how to do in-person hearings. There are 1,400 protests outstanding from 2020 that these people or property owners or agents have required in-person hearings for. We continue to get 2021 hearings in that people are asking in-person hearings, so we've got to flesh that out and figure out how to do it. You know, somebody, when you were doing your budget, you talked about the three-legged stool. I think it might be Ms. Bastain. You mentioned that. And that's what I've been saying to a lot of people when I talk to my members or I talk to Ms. Kriegler or Ms. Mann or I talk to an agent. I said, you know, this is a three-legged stool that we're on that the legislature has put us under. We've got the appraisal district, we've got the appraisal review board, and we got the property owner or the agent. And the information that I have and figured out this morning, 83% of the protests that have been filed for this tax year, 2021, were filed by agents. So they're the key to getting us certified by July the 20th, which is what you all voted on at your last meeting. My schedule that I put out, if we can do 40 residential hearings a day by per panel, and we do 30 commercial hearings per day per panel, I should be able to do by August the 30th, and that's when you set out you wanted to have all the hearings completed in your resolution that you made, some 78,000 hearings. That's what the math works out to. Ms. Kriegler's got a slide in there that she's going to talk about. And I talked to her this morning and I said, you don't mind if I talk about one of your slides. It's a slide that says recommended scheduling rate to reach 90% threshold by July the 20th. She called this inflection points when she talked to me. And I said, Jesus Christ almighty, I don't know what inflection points are. And she said, well, she just took all these Excel spreadsheets and figured out how if you do so many protests by dollar down value, how many protests would you have to hear to reach 90% of the value of the total roll? The total roll, I think, is $322 billion. Only half of that has been protested in value. So we've got to do 90% of that $322 billion, which is $290 billion, to certify at 90%. $291 billion. She's got in here that dollar down. In other words, if we take the most expensive properties and just start having hearings on the most high value properties, we need to handle 36,000 properties to reach 90% of the value. Unfortunately, the state legislature put a wrench into the system 2 years ago when they extended the opportunity for from property owners to also to agents where they can request on a form 50-131, I think it is, where request for same day hearings to tell the appraisal review board what hearings they want to be held together. And a couple of our local agencies have taken advantage of that. And she's got a chart included in this chart is if you follow that portfolio of same day requests of 20, and they can do a docket of 20, it's going to take us to have hearings on or determinations, I should say, on 60,000 properties. So that's either an informal agreement, a top line agreement, or a formal decision by an appraisal review board. I figure by July the 23rd, and when I talked to Ms. Kriegler, I said, you know, you've got July 20th or the 25th. She said, yeah, on the 26th, I've got to tell the taxing entities what their dollar amount is. And she said, I'll give you 3 more days. So I said, so she's giving me to the 27th. I got 2 Saturdays to work in July also. And so I figure that we can probably do 40,000 hearings in that time frame with the structure that I've laid out here. And I just want to take one note here. If we do 80,000 hearings and look at the what the cost per panel is, it's going to cost about $1.1 million, and I've got that down at the bottom of this slide, $1.1 million. That is $13.65 per hearing. And I think that's more in line with the hearing costs that you're seeing from other appraisal districts when you all went through over the past several months about hearing costs and everything. So anyway, that's that slide. And if there's no questions, I'll move on to the next one I've got here. And I just wanted to give you the opportunity to see the letter. If you haven't seen it, it's on the website. The letter I sent to all the property tax agents back on in the first part of May. You know, I one of the things I told these agents, I said, you guys are professionals. You should be able to do the volume of hearings that I'm telling you that you need to do. If you're doing residential hearings, I'm going to expect you to finish 40 residential property hearings a day. If you're doing commercial hearings, I'm expecting you to do 30 commercial hearings a day. You're professionals. It's going to be up to our chair people of every one of these panels to move the hearing process along when we get a verbose agent or we get a verbose appraiser. Then the chair is going to have to move both of those peoples along so that we can reach these targets. These are the targets that I've given to the appraisal review board. Some of them are questioning my sanity on that, but I think that they can do it. Thing that I wanted to cover was just this, I call it the proposed budget that I sent in to Ms. Mann and did some modifications on. You know, the cost of the ARB is dependent upon how many formal hearings we have to do. And that's the plain and simple fact of it. If there's 127, I think there's 127 some odd thousand protests right now. The ARB is not going to be able to handle and have hearings on 127,000 protests unless we go every day, all day, and all night until the end of December or something. And I'm just being facetious when I say that. But I've laid out I think it's going to cost you all about $500 a panel to do hearings next year. And, you know, I popped in on this thing about you know, there's 60 hearing days, 22 hearing days, so many different panels and what it's going to cost y'all. And I'm saying y'all because I'm not going to be here next year. This is my sixth year. And that's what I told I think I told you this back in April. I told the judge, I said, well, judge, you know, if I mess up, you ain't going to be able to fire me because I'm going to be gone next year anyway. And I've laid out, you know, the comptroller training. This is required. It's going to cost you $34,000 to train 200 people if that's how many you have on the ARB next year. It's just plain and simple fact. It's not going to be 7,500 or whatever it has been in the past. And so I've got that. And I also got what it's going to cost for the three officers. Right now, the pay is per diem is $725 a day for three officers. I got 80. I plugged in 82 hearing days, and whether we'll have 82 hearing days next year, I've just put that in there as a guesstimate. That's 59 grand in cost, and then I've got 71 days of work. I talked to the other two officers, and I said, you know, when we're not having hearings, we should be able to work stagger and work 2 days a week. And I think that's reasonable. And so that's kind of all the other days during the year. They work 2 days a week, and that's 51,000. I want to point out one thing. You know, Ms. Kriegler has a very fine young lady as our liaison, I guess is the best thing I could say, to the appraisal district. And she does a marvelous job for us. And unfortunately, she wears a lot of other hats. So we don't have a dedicated 100% clerical person from the appraisal district to handle a lot of the things that we have to handle, a lot of the mail and email that we get. And I will point out this fact to you. If you did have some clerical help that could answer things, you're not paying the ARB any FICA, you're not paying us any insurance, you're not paying us any sick pay, you're not paying us any vacation pay, you're not paying any cost of retirement. So, you know, this is just a solid amount that does not cost you anything extra than what you see coming across. I guess that's about all I've got to say, and I invite any questions. I've gone through this as quickly as possible. I know you all spend a lot of time in your budget hearings, and if you've got any further questions on anything I presented, I'd love to answer them. I'm here. It's not me.
I had a question, Mr. King.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you receive any response from any of the property tax agents to your letter?
Oh, yeah, I sure did. I think the biggest thing they had a problem with is, what if I don't get 40 hearings done in a day? What's going to happen? And I said, well, I spelled it out in the letter right there. It's on page number 2 of the letter. It says that under section 41.45 EE1 and E2, you have to present to the chair of the ARB the reasons why you didn't get 40 done. I'm going to make a determination as to whether I will reschedule the five that they didn't get done, or the six, or whatever it is. I'm going to talk to the chair of that hearing, of that panel. I'm going to talk to the appraiser in that panel, and I'm going to talk to the agent in that panel. And then I'll make a determination of whether we're going to reschedule. And I told them in my letter that we will reschedule any properties that I approve to be rescheduled that weren't here on a Saturday. And I told Ms. Kriegler this in my scheduling letter. I've got 3 Saturdays picked out, 2 in July and 1 in August, to do rehearing, to do reschedules of docket hearings that didn't get done. So that's my strategy. Whether it works, I don't know. That's the big thing that's come across. They don't believe we can do it. I said, if you guys work hard, you're part of that stool. You know, the agents are part of that stool. If they fall off, we don't get certified.
Yeah, I had some comments.
Yes, sir.
So the total number of protests that have been filed is 127,000.
Yes, sir.
This plan calls for you being able to do 80,000.
Yes, sir.
So the difference is 47,000. So those 47,000, we hope to get done during the informal sessions.
Well, I don't think they'll all get done during the informal session, but I hope they do. I think that we're going to I did this for August the 31st because y'all asked us to get finished by August the 31st. I think we'll slide into September with some residential properties that'll have to get cleaned up in September. But I don't think I'm not going to have to run 40 panels to do that. It's going to be a lot less costly. Ms. Kriegler is doing a great job here. I signed 3 top lines that were over $8 billion in value, and she's got $4 billion in informals already done. That's $11 billion out of the, I think we've got to do about 100, I figured out we got to do about $130 billion in value to get certified.
And that's I agree with that approach. You want to hit the high dollar properties first, get them out of the way, and then the rest, you know, we can do at a later date. So
yeah,
prioritizing high dollar amounts is good. But if there's 127, I guess what I'm wondering is, how many of those 127,000 will go to the ARB? What do we see as the outlook of the taxing agents of going through the informals? I think last year we heard at least one of them didn't want to do it at all because of our policy of not giving a value at the time of the meeting. So they're just going to go to the ARB. Are we,
Ms. Krieger,
still have that same situation?
Ms. Krieger is a better person to answer your question than I am, sir, because she's right on top of everything that's going on with the informals on the top line and got a big charge going on with her personnel. Maybe she can answer your question, sir.
And I have that in my chief appraisal's report, Mr. Nguyen.
Okay. We can discuss it then.
Anything else?
I think that's it. Thank you so much for your presentation.
Mr. Valadez, thanks for letting me be on the meeting today. And I look forward to maybe being invited back and succeeding months ahead till we get this big thing done.
We appreciate your hard work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, we will move on to item 5B on our regular agenda, discussion and possible action on the 2022 proposed budget to include directives to staff regarding the proposed budget.
And from our workshop, what I've taken from that in terms of directives that you want us to look at is we will prioritize those items that are most important. We will give you and make it a multi-year plan so that we're spreading it across more than 1 year. And then we will also look for opportunities where we can draw from perhaps our existing reserves to fund some of the items that we've got within the budget. But were there any other directives that you wanted us to look at before we make our next presentation on the budget to you?
I think I mentioned about the additional $15,000 that you have in the budget for the ARB, and I think it needs to stay there. Because of the limited binding arbitration issue. I know that it wasn't requested by Mr. King, but I think it probably needs to, that additional money needs to continue in the turning line item.
I also would like to have a cost per appraisal number comparison to the other 5 or 10 CADs.
Leanna, I think Ms. Conley had brought up a lot of really good points on how to facilitate some of those changes best. I want to see if once those are implemented or included in our budget that we're adopting, if you could provide a revised levy to budget ratio to see, if we don't stay more in line with where we are historically proportionately to Dallas and I think is it Dallas and Harris that we're between normally on that ratio? I think there was a chart earlier. Is that correct?
Yeah, historically, we've sat right in between Dallas and Harris. Sometimes Tarrant is a good comparison.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we're in line with once those changes are implemented.
One other thing, which I think you've probably already picked up, is had to do with the starting hourly wage for clerical people. And Leanna, I think you made a really good point about that in talking about people needing to put food on the table. So I certainly would like to see that increase remain.
I agree.
So we will come back to you guys with the directives and a revised budget based on the directives that we've given, again, to prioritize those items that are legislative mandates and also looking at making it a multi-year request to get us to where we ultimately need to be. And we'll come back. We've got our next meeting scheduled for June 8th. So we'll have that prepared and ready for you guys on June 8th.
So no action is needed on that. That'll just come back on our next agenda. So we will move on to item 5C of our regular agenda, discussion and possible action on the chief appraiser's report to include the 2021 mass appraisal report, the 2021 protest process, the 87th legislative bill tracking, the 2020 PVS study, the communications and outreach programs.
And I will share with you guys the PowerPoint for the chief appraiser's report. And we included into the report, the mass appraisal report. It's just an annual report that we have to give you. Ultimately, it boils down to, we've got 464,494 parcels in Travis County. Our total market value is $322 billion, and our total taxable value is $246 billion. Again, this is after our initial appraisals are done. This is subject to change based on what happens during the equalization phase and the ARB protest processes. But this is our starting point, and that's all included in our mass appraisal report. And that's been included in your packet for reference. To get to the 2021 protest season and answer some of the questions that had come up, by protest, by filers, and this is information that was as of last date so that we could get it into our packet and get it published on the website. The numbers have changed slightly, but as of last Friday, we had 127,402 protests that have been filed. Again, the overwhelming majority of those are being filed by tax agents. They filed 105,000, and then we had approximately 21,000 property owners that filed their protests with the appraisal district. That number has gone up slightly, and let me give you, as of this morning, the most current number is we are at 132,809 total protests that have been filed. And that's just a delay on data entry and mail coming in and getting those entered into the system for you. But I anticipate that our protest volume overall will be below our record highs. Again, it'll be higher than it was last year, but I do think we will be below our record level of 147,000 protests in 2019. Just based on our current trends. And again, we have been very successful in getting owners and agents to file their protests through our online portal. That means that we're able to get that information and report it back to you much more quickly. We don't have to spend the manpower to manually enter those protests. So most of that has been entered into the system. Again, overwhelming majority of them have e-filed. The breakout by portfolio, while we have most of the number of protests that have been filed are residential, the majority of the value of protests falls within our commercial sectors. But we had $159 billion under protest as of last Friday. As of last Friday, we had conducted over 8,000 informal meetings. And again, we've got our Get In Line online system where the agents and the owners can get in line and reserve their space. But they've taken advantage of that. It was slow to start, but they've picked up. We started our informals on April 19th, and we will continue to do them through June 18th. We've also, for e-filed accounts, made an additional 7,000 offers electronically through our online system. So we've made a total of 17,000 total offers, both through the informal meetings and the e-file offers that we've made online. In terms of resolution of those informal meetings and offers, we've had 4,638 that have actually accepted an informal offer or the online e-file offer. We've done 1,555 top lines, and we've got some data entry issues that we need to correct because we have not done two ARB hearings. But overall, we've resolved about $11 billion so far. But it's looking at, again, we are open to anybody that wants to come in and get an informal, Mr. Nguyen, but we're looking at maybe 50% are actually accepting those offers. If you include top lines, we might be getting a little bit higher, but we're looking at getting, you know, maybe 50% acceptance of our informal offers and resolving things informally. As Mr. King talked about, I ran for him based on our total numbers at the end of the week last week. How many protests will we need to resolve in order to hit our threshold to reach the 90% for certification by July 20th? And if we were traditionally the way we used to do it was just dollar down, you'd sort them in descending value order and handle those protests, we would have to get 36,000 done. Given 27 days, that's 1,300 a day. Each panel would have to do approximately 33 hearings per panel. But because of the legislative change and the ability to make a same-day hearing request and the volume of same-day hearing requests that we have, and we've had over 60,000 parcels that have made a same-day hearing request, we can't do strictly dollar down. So we have to take into consideration the same-day request and then look at those that didn't make the request, working those dollar down, and that would result us in having to do 63,169. That's 2,300 per day, and would be a rate of about 58 hearings per panel. If we sort that same day request and the dollar down request to do very specific portfolios first, our commercial portfolios first, and then look at same day hearing requests for residential and dollar down, we can trim that slightly and get that down to 60,180. That's 2,200 per day. And if we run in 40 panels, that would be approximately 56 hearings per panel per day in order to reach our 90% threshold. As I talked to Mr. King and discussed it with him, the week of the 20th falls on a Tuesday. I have to get certification and values into the taxing entities on July 25th, but that falls on a Sunday. So 26 would be my date to get certified values out to the taxing entities. I concede a little bit of my time just because we've automated. I concede a little bit of my time for prepping the file to him to give him a couple day additional days, which is how we get to 27 days if we start June 21st with our formal hearing process. That's, again, an incredible volume that they will have to do. Sorry, I slid the wrong way. That they would have to do. Our important dates are our protest deadline is May 17th, and we have passed that deadline. We have done substantially all of the protests have been into system, entered into the system, and we have done all of the groupings required for the same day hearing request. And again, because of the volume of same day hearing requests, that's a lot of properties that have been grouped for same day hearings. Our informal meetings, we started again April 29th, and we will continue through June 18th. And for commercial, we started on the 26th. And we'll continue through June 18th doing our informal meetings. We will continue to do our top lines, not only during the time that we're doing our informals, but we will continue to allow top lines through August 20th. But we've got to stop top lines at approximately that date so that we can get those processed before the end date. So we will continue to do top lines beyond our June 18th informal deadline. Our formal hearings, again, we'll schedule to start formal hearings June 1st. The first week, again, we'll be taking care of some of the prior year hearings that were still remaining, and then also taking care of those property owners that we're required to do first by legislative requirement, which would be anybody that is over the age of 65, if you're a disabled veteran, those kinds of properties have to be handled prior to handling any other properties, which means that we'll start approximately June 21st with other property owners and with our tax agents. And we are planning to continue our schedule of our hearings through August 30th. Again, certification, the ARB has to approve the records by July 20th. I have to get the certified values to the taxing entities by July 25th, but that falls on a Sunday, so it slides to the 26th. And in the time between July 20th and the 25th, I will cede as much time as possible to the ARB to help them accomplish their goals as possible. In terms of, are there any questions about the ARB protest process and our procedures?
Yeah, just a question about the same day. What exactly is that? It sounds like somebody can just request an ARB hearing the same day. Is that what it is?
So what can happen is a taxpayer that owns multiple parcels or a tax agent can make a request to have up to 20 parcels have their hearings held on the same day. And they can make as many requests for same day hearings as they want. And the ARB has to honor those requests to have those hearings on the same day. So any request that we get must be honored, and they can do up to 20 parcels per request, but they can do an unlimited number of requests.
Okay, so it's just, they want to group all their properties together to have them on the same day, but we still schedule the date. They don't pick the date. We just have to.
They don't pick the date, but you know they do the grouping. And yeah. Unfortunately, the groupings that we've got are not dollar down, nor are they in the neighborhood order. It's just kind of a mix, which just means that we have to do a lot more volume because we can't put in descending value order down. We've got to do a lot more volume. And because we're not working in a specific neighborhood order, it takes a little bit more time because you can't be as efficient in discussing a single neighborhood and putting that before the ARB. You're hopping from locale to locale. So it just puts a lot more burden in terms of the volume that has to get done in order to make our statutory requirement to certify timely.
And it looks like the majority of the protests were filed, even by the agents, e-file. So does that mean that they're requesting an informal, most of them?
Yeah, again, even if they e-file, they still can get in line online and have the informal telephonic meeting with the appraiser. So they e-filed. We also made, if you wanted to do a top line, part of the conditions for us to agree to a top line would be that you would have to e-file, because that is our mechanism for showing what our offer is going to be electronically. So they would have to e-file if they wanted to take advantage of top lines.
Just as an observation, 83% of the protests were agent filed.
Yes. And that is, you know, a slightly higher than in previous years, but not by much. We've trended in the high 70, 78, 75, 80% traditionally. So it is on par with our trend for our volume and percentage filed by tax agents versus filed by property owners. All right. For the legislative session, and we're getting close to the end of the session, but for bill tracking, I kind of broke this down for you guys. We have tracked over this session. There were over 503 bills that we tracked, but in the list that I've given you, if it's got two asterisks, that means it's passed the house in which it was filed. Three asterisks means it came out of committee in the other house, and four asterisks means that it was passed by both houses. And again, this is as of last Friday, so things have changed a little bit. But here are some of the bills that we have noted that are of particular import, starting with House Bill, and these are separated versus House Bills and Senate Bills, starting bill with House Bill 988, and that started as the procedural violations for the ARB processes, but has turned into an omnibus bill that includes a lot of other factors into it, a lot of issues related to how the appraisal district must maintain accounts, what kind of notices the appraisal district must have, single member panels. Again, it's become an omnibus bill. That one is, again, we're watching that very quickly. I believe it is on calendars, and we think that it has high potential that this one will pass. And again, this one has a lot of additional mandates for the appraisal district. Some of them are unfunded mandates, and some of them will just cost in terms of time and administration of accounts for the appraisal district and the manpower needed to do that additional administration. So House Bill 988 is an important omnibus property tax bill that we're watching. There's also House Bill 1082, and that is for confidential owners. It just makes any elected public officer an additional confidential owner. We're also watching House Bill 1090. That one would change the time frame for omitted property. Currently, it is 5 years or 2 years and 5 years. It would make it a standard 3 years for all. Right now, it's got different years if it's real property versus personal property, and it would standardize that to just a straight 3 years. House Bill 1197 for properties and churches that are expanding, the length of time that they would have to complete their construction on their new sanctuaries would extend from 6 to 10 years. House Bill 1568, this is a bill that we don't think will move, but we thought it was an important bill, and it changed the PVS margin of error from the current 5% up to 7.5%. And when we get in and talk about our PVS study, you'll see why that is so important to the appraisal district. But again, that's a bill that we don't think will move this year. But hopefully it might be something that we see again next year. House Bill 2014 was an omnibus bill, but that everything that was in 2014 got drafted into HB 988. So you just see 988. House Bill 2429 just has requirements for when the de minimis exceeds the voter approval, what kind of notices need to be put out there. HB 2723, this is a bill that we supported, and it kind of unifies the Truth in Taxation website statewide that we do with the tax rate information and gives a common URL for all appraisal districts across the state to use. And it will be on the texas.gov website. So it would be texas.gov/property taxes. And everybody could go to that one website anywhere in the state. And then you would just have to select your appraisal district to get to your specific appraisal information for your district. But we're really proud of HB 2723. And that one has already gone over to the governor's office. Additional house bills that we're looking at is HB 2941, and that would require that the ARB is appointed by the administrative judge in all counties. HB 3788 would just codify that remote training for the ARB would be an appropriate methodology for the comptroller to use in training and offering that to appraisal review boards. HB 3971, that is one that impacts historic exemptions, and it makes a requirement that we take into consideration for those properties that are designated historic, the cost that it requires for them to be maintained and maintain that historical nature of them. This is something that is kind of a little bit in conflict with our current historic exemptions that are granted by our taxing entities that already recognize that, but we did alert our taxing units of that bill to make them aware of it. HB 4179 would be informal settlement conferences. And again, that one has been drafted into another bill, but it would require that all appraisal districts provide informal settlement conferences. And then HJR 125, which would provide for surviving spouses of a disabled person to receive those benefits. Right now, if you're a disabled person, you get the exemption and you get the freeze, but there's no surviving spouse benefits. And this would just enable surviving spouse benefits for those people. On the Senate side, bills that we're tracking is Senate Bill 63, and that is on calendars as well. It's another omnibus bill. This one is one that would require the appraisal district to do a lot of processing on any applications. We would have 30 days to make a determination of whether or not we needed additional information, and then ultimately only 90 days to get everything processed and on the system. So that's one of the big changes in that one. It also makes a requirement that any protest hearings, the hearing would have to occur within 90 days after our normal protest season. So again, making an impetus for things to get done quicker and faster. And again, one of the reasons why we feel we need additional staffing is to meet these more stringent time constraints that we would have if those move forward. Senate Bill 334, that is a bill that we asked our representative to carry for us. Under current public information request, confidential information such as sales information can only be provided if a property is protested, but it doesn't address arbitration. And we feel that there are occasions when somebody may decide to go beyond their protest and into arbitration, and we're not able to provide them the same information that we would have given them at a protest. So this bill just clarifies and adds arbitration to allow disclosures for that confidential information. Senate Bill 611, that increases for the surviving spouse of first responders, not only killed in action, but also any of those that may have been fatally injured would qualify for the exemption. Senate Bill 725, that just changes the agricultural and as it relates to condemnations. Senate Bill 794 changes some language for the disabled veteran and changes it from awarded to versus received. Senate Bill 916 is for the maps review. And what that would do, excuse me, it would link any map review to the TDL or license of the chief appraiser, so that if anybody was looking at the chief appraiser, they could go directly to the chief appraiser within the TDLR system and see the results of the maps review that they had. Senate Bill 1029 is for solar exemptions, and it makes a distinction between real property and devices that may be leased. Senate Bill 1088 just requires notification to lessees and clarifies that it is for lessees of real property. Senate Bill 1413 is electronic communication, and that one has been grafted on to another bill. Senate Bill 1413 has not been grafted on to another bill, but we do not think that that one will move forward. But it is one that would require additional electronic communications. We do think that it's probably something we might see next session. Senate Bill 1427 just specifies that disasters are specifically physical disasters, not economic disasters, for the purposes of the exemption that the appraisal district administers. And I believe I got the number wrong because that's a duplicate, but Senate Bill 14, I believe it's 1429, allows for clerical error correction on BPP renditions. Senate Bill 1436 would allow for the appeal of the property value study. We don't know that this one is going to move further, but we thought it was a good bill. And again, when we talk about our PVS study, we'll explain a little bit more about that. Senate Bill 1438 just specifies some disaster rate calculations. Senate Bill 1449, that would expand currently properties valued under 500 are exempt from property taxes. This would increase that to properties under 2,500 would be exempt. Senate Bill 1854, the over 65 can file a lawsuit if they've got a deferral without having to meet a prepayment requirement. And Senate Bill 1919 would allow ARBs to be done via video conferencing. It just kind of codifies some of the practices that we put into place because of the pandemic. And that is all of the bills that we've been tracking and a highlight of some of the most important bills that we've been tracking. Are there any questions about the litigation?
You mean legislation?
Legislation. Sorry.
Yeah, so a couple items. So the SB, the Senate bill and the House bill, they haven't been signed by the governor yet. So we should know.
HB 988 and Senate Bill 63 are the two omnibus bills. And those are both on calendars. They haven't passed the second chamber yet, but we anticipate that they probably will. But, you know, it's the legislative session and, there's a lot of games playing and jockeying. So we don't know for sure. They have not yet hit the governor's office yet.
I remember seeing this item in one of those two bills. I can remember exactly. But did it limit the term of a board of directors on a CAD to, I thought it was three, and then they amended it to 5 terms, 10 years? Is that?
Yeah, that would be Senate Bill 63, and it would limit the number of terms for a board of directors of an appraisal district to 5 terms, and you serve 2-year terms. So it would be a limit of 5 terms, and we would have to look at the effective date, but I think it is from the effective date moving forward that you start the clock ticking on counting the terms.
Yeah, I believe, Maria, it starts with January 1st, 22, and it doesn't affect any prior terms.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's 10 years after next year?
Yeah, it would start,
Oh, okay. So if you haven't served, if you serve for 5 terms, it's not like you have to go then. It's not retroactive, it sounds like.
It's not retroactive. The clock starts on January 1st of 22.
Okay. I also saw that we testified for a couple of these bills.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the board ever discussed any of these until now in-depthly. Were they testifying as employees of TCAD or with the board? I'm just wondering.
They testified on behalf of the Texas Association of Appraisal Districts.
Okay. All right. Well, I thought one of them said Travis Central Appraisal District. So I just want to make sure.
Well, you have to state who you are. Bill 334, which would be the allowing of us to disclose the information at an arbitration, would be the only one that I testified as a chief appraiser of Travis CAD, because we asked our local representative to carry that bill for us.
Okay. Should the board be consulted if we're being represented to the legislature? I don't have a problem with those things. It's just more of a procedural thing. If you're representing us or your staff is representing us in any way, I think it would be good that we review it and we agree or not agree. I didn't have any problems with, you know, being for any of the bills that you guys testified for, but I think it would be better though if we were consulted.
Yeah, one of the what the board did the last session is gave me the authority to represent the appraisal district so long as I reported to you guys at your regular scheduled meeting, which we've done while the legislature has been session. We've been giving you the reports of legislation that we're tracking and the bills that we think are highly important.
That's correct. We didn't feel that that should be something, it should be micromanaged by the board.
I recall that conversation and I personally feel the same way.
Yeah, I don't remember that specific conversation, but if we're going to say we are for or against a certain legislation and it's coming from Travis Central Appraisal District, it should be a board decision, my opinion.
Giving the pace at which the legislature moves, logistically, that would be very difficult if you wanted full board approval on every bill. Because we don't know, we never know when bills are going to get a notice of a hearing. That usually happens on less than a week's notice. Again, that's why
I know it'd be tough.
Report back to you guys rather than getting prior approval.
Anthony, I worked with four different state legislators, state legislatures in four different states. And Mario's correct. I mean, what you're suggesting, it's just literally almost impossible to pull off. And our duty as a board is to set policy, but I don't think it's to, you know, look into the day-to-day kind of operations that Mario's got to undertake in order to represent the board.
Well, I don't want to micromanage it. It's just legislation that impacts us, coming from us. We should have some sort of say if we're for it or against it, because we shouldn't be misrepresented in some way. I understand the challenges of it. I have testified, and yeah, you have to be quick, and sometimes you don't get much notice. But maybe just a notification before, hey, you're going to be for this bill, maybe just send us an email saying what it is, and then we can reply back our thoughts on it. I think that... that would be a proper way of handling being for, or just testify on the bill, and you know, that's fine as a representative, you know, without taking a position.
It's not the board that testifies, right? I mean, it's the Travis Central Appraisal District, and you govern. I just don't understand where. I see that as an administrative function to sort of, you know, testify on the impact of such bills and contemplation of bills. And no other sort of entity would be single as an entity that would be a board approving any, you know, fors or against at the legislative session. I don't, the city, the county, the school district, there are tons of bills and it would just preclude participation.
When you look at the witness list for some of these bills, it says who's for or against it and their title. And yes, I saw a number that says Travis Central Appraisal District, which as board members, that's us, right? That person is representing us as the board of directors of Travis Central Appraisal District. And we haven't really had much discussion until now about what we are for or against, right? We're trusting Mari is doing the right job, and I'm sure she is. I would just appreciate a little more foresight and maybe I want to go and testify, right?
So yeah, and that's well within your rights. I think that's something you could consult with Marion to see where you would be effective in those discussions, because a lot of time the legislature is about who's making the testimony in terms of how it carries weight and impact of the session. I mean, on the legislature. So I would, if you're interested in testifying on any of these bills, I think you should coordinate with Maria, but I honestly don't think that the board should be yes and no and for and against for various contemplated bills. I think Maria is best positioned to talk about the administrative impact of such bills and fiscal impact, which is typically what happens when you go publicly testify. But I don't know that it's within the auspices of the board to sort of control in that regard. And we would be the only entity that would operate that way. But I'm definitely open to having a discussion about legislative bills and maybe setting some priorities in anticipation of the upcoming sessions and then doing sort of the post follow-up. Because then I don't see us coming to consensus about for or against. I mean, honestly, in some of these things. And it does take sort of a more impartial administrative eye to provide the kind of evidence and support and data and information so that it can be meaningful.
Yeah, we may not come to a consensus, but at least all viewpoints are represented.
I think Nicole has said it very, very well, and really kind of time to move on, I think.
So our 2020 property value study, and we did file a protest with the property value study, and we got our preliminary results back. Preliminarily, we fell out of confidence interval on several of our school districts. We presented our objections to several specific properties that were included in the study to the comptroller, and we have gotten their recommendation based on our objections. It did make a move in most of our school districts. Austin ISD did move so that they are now within the confidence interval, and the valid findings were made, so they are no longer in grace. But we still have Eames, La Vista, Lake Travis, Leander, Marble Falls, and Round Rock that fell outside of the confidence interval. Marble Falls being assigned state value, the others being in the first year of the grace period. I've listed for you guys what we requested based on our recommendations. And again, our most common recommendations and objections to the comptroller based on the study was either one, incorrect sales information, or two, 2301E objections where they did not make any adjustments for 2019 ARB board orders. So House Bill 1313 in 2019, it raised the evidentiary standard for a chief appraiser. Before we could increase the value of a property when the ARB had lowered it in the previous year, we now have to meet clear and convincing evidence, and the chief appraiser may not increase the values unless you can meet that higher level of a burden of proof. And then Government Code 403-302D requires the comptroller to make adjustments in the study for any exemptions, tax limitations, as well as the difference in market value because of actions required by statute or the constitution in the state. The PTA disagreed with our request and our objection because of 2301 and that having to meet that higher burden and not being allowed to increase the value. And they stated that they would not make the adjustment to a market value unless the ARB made a value determination in that specific year that we to meet our burden of proof under 2301E. We see 2301E as being on the appraisal district that I may not increase the value, not that the appraisal review board needs to take an action, but that I may not increase the value unless we have clear and convincing evidence. And so we are going to continue our protest. And the reason why that is so important, out of the 2,694 parcels in the study total, we raised objections on 380. But the overwhelming majority of those were objections based on 2301E, which is the ARB set the value in 2019. We did not have clear and convincing information because, again, that was the year in 2020 that we lost our market data, access to our market data. So I made a determination. We did not have the clear and convincing evidence necessary to meet that 2301E burden. We could not raise the values if we couldn't prove up and defend that. We didn't have clear and convincing evidence. So statutorily, we were not allowed to increase the values. Comptroller feels that, you know, if a property owner gets their value lowered and the following year, they're going to have to, the appraisal district has to raise the value anyhow, and they have to come in and get a protest to get that value lowered back down. So we are going to continue to file our objections and our protests with the comptroller under the 2301E. They accepted most of our invalid sales data objections. We were able to prove up that our data was accurate, but we will continue to raise our 2301E objections with the comptroller to try to get the rest of our school districts within the valid findings. And again, the difference for us in all of our school districts except for Marble Falls is less than 1%. In most cases, it's less than 0.5%. So we think if the comptroller can be convinced that the statute, and we think the statute requires them to, recognize the 2019 ARB board orders and make a proportional adjustment. We feel that that's going to be enough to get our school districts into good standing and have valid findings and not have to exhaust a year of grace in the property value study. Any questions about the property value study? That's one of the reasons, and our objections and the issues that we're having are one of the reasons why we thought it was really important, one, to look at that threshold of that 5% versus 7.5%, And then also looking at the ability to continue to pursue those protests beyond the informal meetings and the SOA hearings and what the rules and regulations would be required for us moving forward.
Maria, I'm really happy that you're still continuing to press forward to sort of try to resolve some of the gap between you and the comptroller. I do want to ask, what is happening with Marble Falls? I mean, such an anomaly. I mean, it's a pretty, it's off a lot.
Yeah. So Marble Falls, we only have a very, very small portion of Marble Falls. And in the property value study, a lot of the data that was utilized by the comptroller in their review went beyond the school district boundaries and was beyond the date frame that the appraisal district traditionally can use for valuation. So we were off. I think we were undervalued in Marble Falls. It was, again, a limited amount of data that we had available to us for that particular school district. But again, that school district, we only have such a small portion of it that it becomes much more difficult for us to get data on it. In terms of our outreach that we have done, and I think this is the last item in my chief appraiser report, we did our webinar series for property owners. We had our last webinar in May on the 2021 protest process. But again, any webinars that we have done for property owners, we have made them available on our website. So property owners can go to our website, www.traviscad.org webinars, and can see a replay of all of those videos that we've done so far. And we will look at developing our next series after we get through the protest process. I think it's going to be all hands on decks for the next couple months. But after we get through the protest process, we will look at looking at our next series of webinars that we might want to do and information that we want to share with property owners. And that is everything that I had in the chief appraiser's report.
Thank you so much for that, Maria. With that, we will move on to item 5D, discussion and possible action on adjustment to 2021 pay schedule.
And this is something that we had talked about in our workshop, and we'd like to make an adjustment to our pay scale. And again, I think we can make it effective in September, as Debbie suggested, but it is just something that will help us, again, be competitive in the market with some of the other companies that we have to compete with to both recruit and retain our employees. It is going to be most significant in terms of adjustments for our clerical staff. That is where the largest percentage of adjustment will come. And Leanna, can you go over a little bit more about that? I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice. I'm sorry.
The proposal would adjust all of the current staff and any open positions. So we're proposing that the clerical positions get a 12% increase to the starting pay, that the appraiser positions would get a 7%, and that would include professionals like IT and some of our litigation clerks. They would also get a 7%, and then management would get a 3%. And one of the things that I highlighted in the document is this would make almost 94% of our workforce get at least a 7% increase in pay. The clerical staff, the lowest pay grades, would get the highest, and it would be at almost 33% of the workforce would get that 12% increase. The $275,000 that I estimated for this to become effective June 1st, that would be if we filled all open positions at the new pay scale and adjusted all of our current staff. We could drop that considerably if we moved that to a September 1st date. I think one thing I would add is that if we could possibly, the open positions that we have posted, if we could use the new scale to recruit those positions, that would be helpful with the full adjustment coming September 1st.
Did we act on this at our next meeting on June 8th by you giving us more information to break it down? In other words, if you put the money in, like you said, for recruitment for open positions, and then maybe did the clerical staff first? And then, I mean, I'd like to see two or three options, I guess, is what I'm saying, and artfully, that would allow us to make a decision, not just a straight $275,000 allocation, but have some other phase-ins by September. Nicole, what, have you done things like that before at AISD?
Yes, we've always, yes, similarly, and one time and stratified just to sort of normalize the total impact. So, yes.
That's what I'm talking about, something like that.
We can put that together for you.
I'd like to postpone the decision until June 8th, if possible.
Second.
Has been moved and seconded to postpone. Any discussion on that? Okay. All those in favor of postponement until the June 8th meeting?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? That motion passes unanimously. We will see that on the June 8th meeting. We will move on to item 5E of our regularly scheduled meeting, discussion and possible action on litigation and appeals related to pending lawsuits and anticipated lawsuits.
And that is a standing agenda item. We don't have anything of note to present.
Okay. We will go to 5F, discussion and possible action to add items to the future agenda.
So we will take incorporating the directives regarding the proposed budget and bring that back to you guys, as well as the action on the adjustment to the pay scale would be the two agenda items for the next meeting.
We will also have our audit presentation.
Thank you.
And we'll have the final report on legislation too, won't we, Maria?
Yes. Yes.
Any other items anyone else would like to see? Okay, so we have those items. And then the last thing on the agenda, we have adjournment. All those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
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 At 1:40 on Tuesday, May 25th, 2021, the Travis Central Appraisal District Board of Directors stands adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you guys next June 8th.
Yes. Can't wait. Bye.
Have a good one.